My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the trembling in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. So we're kind of in a holding pattern right now. I went over to C-SPAN, and they are indicating that the House Republican Leaders News Conference is going to be on at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Congressional News Conference, Washington, D.C. So that's what they are implying is going to happen over on C-SPAN. Now, over on Fox, and I know everybody, we're having issues. I completely get it. But over on Fox right now, the camera is trained on the podium waiting for Comer and Grassley, I assume, and some others to come forward and to show and to present these FBI documents that we have been talking about. And these are, again, these are the documents that that the FBI has, or that the House leadership, Oversight Committee leadership, and others have been provided by whistleblowers. So whistleblowers came forward and said, "Hey, here's the drill. We are we're coming to you now." Now, you know, Biden says, "You know, hey, you know, I never talked to anybody about any of this. I didn't have anything to do with any of this. My son never did anything wrong." I mean, look, we have the laptop, and if you haven't seen it yet, let's see. I think it's called My Son Hunter. Let me see if I said that right. The making of My Son Hunter. Yeah, My Son Hunter. My friend directed that, Robert Davi. And if you've not seen that film, by the way, man, I would really strongly recommend that you do, because, and I had Robert here on the program. It outlines what they did. It outlines the excesses and the illegal activity and the knowing illegal activity, the compromises that they created for our country by the issues that they did, and it's just, wow, it's truly absolutely stunning when you look at and consider what they pulled off. I mean, it's just, it really is, it's just absolutely stunning, and not surprising when you consider, I mean, think about, you know, how long Joe Biden has been there and all of the issues and all of the stuff that he has more than likely been engaged in. It really is not that big of a surprise, I guess, when you think about that. Let me see if I have interview Zier CPAC. No, this is Davi, Roe v. Wade, homeless issues 4/1/21. I had him on, and I'm trying to see if I can find that that particular interview that I did with him on the Hunter piece. Maybe I have it in here under a different heading. Well, anyway, the other one that I've had on that we've exposed a lot of this stuff is Mike McCormick, and now this is an interesting.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad, but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan Lund.
Forth the praises of him who is called.
Really belong to others. It's a form of.
Very quickly, first of all, I want to welcome Mike McCormick.
Really belong to others. It's a form of false advertising.
Is it a wise idea, though, to take something that personal anyway from another politician and try and appropriate it to your own campaign?
I think it was a stupid thing to appropriate material that was really very personal, that was someone else's.
Most people didn't know who he was, you know, Joe Biden, and now they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's the guy who plagiarized.
That's a lot of people.
First, politically, that's devastating.
Joe Biden has been lying and plagiarizing and pretending to be things that he is not for 30 years. And joining me now is a gentleman who was his stenographer for 6 years during the Obama administration when Joe Biden was the vice president. That is, tell us very quickly,
and first family of all, I want to welcome Mike. To collect money.
The senior living advisors.
Hunter Biden and his associates capitalized on a lucrative financial relationship with a Romanian national who was under investigation for and later convicted of corruption in Romania. The Bidens received over $1 million for the deal. And 16 of the 17 payments to their associates' account that funneled the Bidens' money occurred while Joe Biden was vice president. In fact, the money stops flowing from the Romanian national soon after Joe Biden leaves the vice presidency. This is a pattern of influence peddling. This appears separate from any payment Hunter received from his work connecting this individual to a U.S. law firm. We'll also provide further information regarding the Bidens' relationship with China. This includes two individuals the committee is particularly concerned about. One of them, Yu Jianming, had close ties to the highest levels of the Chinese Communist Party and operated a multi-billion dollar energy company with access to large sums of money. We'll discuss how the Bidens received millions of dollars from this individual through the use of shell companies and wire transfers. In March, the committee released its first bank records memorandum that showed a Biden associate, Rob Walker, used his company to funnel money from the Chinese to various Biden family members. Democrats dismissed the evidence, even though it was based on bank records directly from the bank. The Democrats on the Oversight Committee received the same records as the Republicans, and they were able to verify the information. Democrats said all the bank records showed were Papa John's and Starbucks receipts. They deliberately chose to misconstrue and deny what was clearly in front of them. Hunter Biden's representatives claimed the money was, quote, good faith seed funds, but could not explain why those funds had to go through an intermediary in what appears to be an attempt to hide the transfers from the Chinese. They also couldn't explain why the Bidens received over $1 million in 16 different wire transfers over a period of 3 months to at least five different banks. The president, when confronted with this information, said it wasn't true. Instead of being honest with the American people, President Biden has claimed since the 2020 election that his family has not received money from China. That was a lie in 2020, and he continues to lie to the American people now. The Bidens have received millions of dollars from China. It is inconceivable that the president did not know it. The White House refuses to correct the president's statements, showing the president is now using the federal government to run interference for his family's and his own role in these schemes. Now I want to say a few remarks about the developments last week. A week ago, I sent a subpoena to the FBI for a form that a whistleblower has alleged is in the FBI's possession. We hope the FBI will be transparent and forthcoming and provide the Oversight Committee with the 1023 form we have subpoenaed. If they do, the committee will assess the form it has subpoenaed from the FBI and has been my
If you're
practice.
Shopping for your first rental
we
property, then you definitely
only
need
facts when they are verified and indisputable. This committee will not pursue witch hunts or string the American people along for years with false promises of evidence that is beyond circumstantial evidence, as Representative Adam Schiff and the Democrats did for years. I trust the whistleblower. A subpoena from this committee is a powerful tool that I do not take lightly. The level of detail provided to Senator Grassley led me to conclude
a subpoena was warranted,
and I stand by that assessment.
I will say this.
When Senator Grassley approached me with the information the whistleblower provided, it was because of the information we've learned through this committee's own investigation that indicated to me the whistleblower's allegations are consistent with our independent findings. Those findings are what I called you here today to discuss. The committee has reviewed thousands of bank records from individuals and companies affiliated with the Bidens and their associates. It has received these bank records pursuant to four subpoenas I've issued to different banks. These were targeted and specific subpoenas, and each was different based on the information we believed the banks possessed. Every one of those subpoenas returned valuable information that had been unreported and that contributed to this committee's understanding of how the Bidens conducted their businesses. The committee is concerned by the complicated, suspicious network of over 20 companies we have identified the Bidens and their associates used to enrich themselves. Most of these companies were limited liability companies formed during Joe Biden's vice presidency. The bank records show the Biden family, their associates, and their companies received over $10 million from foreign nationals and their companies. Some of that money came from a Chinese company and went to Hunter Biden's company. Other transfers occurred with the help of Rob Walker, who then sent it on to different Biden family members. This is not how lawful businesses operate. Chinese nationals affiliated with the Bidens created limited liability companies in the United States and then in a short period of time transferred their interest to a Chinese company that sent money to the Bidens. This is not normal. Hunter Biden and his associates courted business in countries that correlated directly with Joe Biden's work as vice president. This is also not normal. It is not ethical. And this is why we need legislative solutions. Our purpose here is to provide legislative solutions to prevent this unethical behavior from ever happening again. This investigation is about investigating allegations of corruption and fraud at the highest levels of the federal government. This should be a bipartisan issue. This committee is considering legislation that would ensure these sorts of business practices do not continue for Democrats or Republicans. Specifically, the committee is crafting legislative solutions aimed at deficiencies it has identified in ethics laws and disclosure laws for immediate family members of Vice President and the President. These deficiencies potentially place American national security and American interest at risk. Additionally, the committee is considering legislation that would strengthen reporting requirements related to certain foreign transactions involving senior elected officials' family members. Finally, the committee is evaluating the Bank Secrecy Act and anti-money laundering laws to determine whether financial institutions have the available tools and support from federal agencies to thwart illegal money laundering and foreign corruption activity. As I said, I'm very pleased with the progress the committee is making in this investigation. However, due to the information we're releasing today and further developments the committee is aware of, the investigation will enter a new phase now that is armed with information obtained in the bank records. I will soon issue a new round of subpoenas to banks for specific targeted information. I will also provide one more opportunity for certain Biden associates, including his art gallerist and Rob Walker, to cooperate willingly with this investigation. Finally, I'm publicly releasing the second bank accounts memorandum to the American people so they can see for themselves the activities the Biden family is engaged in, despite the president's statements to the contrary. I want to thank the people and financial institutions that have cooperated with this investigation so far. I also want to encourage more people to come forward and let them know their information will be kept private and confidential. To my Democrat colleagues, I want to say that this investigation will continue to move forward. Do you want to continue covering up the Biden's influence peddling schemes when the evidence is being placed right in front of you? With or without Democrat support, we will continue working to deliver the answers, transparency, and accountability that the American people deserve. I now turn to Andy Biggs, who will provide some information.
Thank you, Chairman Comer. We appreciate your leadership on this very, very significant issue to the direction of this country, and we appreciate your leadership and appreciate my colleagues who are here today, and also the great staff that has done such incredible work on behalf of this committee in reviewing these records and helping us to obtain them. Thank you. And thank you to those of you who are here from the media today. So when we talk about the Biden family and associates, I think it's important for the American people to understand what we mean when we're talking about these associates. What are we really getting at? First, they use them as vehicles to move money directly into Biden family accounts. Why is that? It's because they were looking to obfuscate and hide where the money was coming from. For example, the Bidens used their associate Rob Walker to bring in millions of dollars from China and Romania. Walker's limited liability company, Robinson Walker LLC, paid Hunter, James, Halley, and others in the Biden network more than $2 million after foreign money hit his account. One-third to the Bidens. That was the pattern. For example, on March 1st, 2017, only 2 months after Joe Biden left office, Robinson Walker received a $3 million wire from State Energy HK Limited, a Chinese entity. The next day, one-third of that money, $1,065,000, went to the bank account in Abu Dhabi of the company EEIG, which was controlled by James Gilliatt, another Biden associate. Over the next 3 months, Robinson Walker LLC sent 16 incremental payments to over five different Biden accounts, totaling $1,065,692. This included payments to James Biden, who received five wires and over $50,000, who did no discernible work to earn that money. A third to Gilliard, a third to the Bidens. What was State Energy HK Limited? That is a second class of Biden associates, the people from whom the Bidens conducted business. State Energy HK Limited was a company controlled by Yi Zhiming. Yi was a Chinese billionaire who was reportedly the former Deputy Secretary Counsel for an international outreach arm for the People's Liberation Army. It's called the China Association for International Friendly Contact. According to a U.S. agency, that organization is a platform for deploying undercover intelligence gatherers. Chairman Yi started an energy company called CEFC, China. Yi explained in a speech to the committee that the committee has obtained and translated into English that CEFC China's vision is very simple. It is to obtain overseas resources and serve the national strategy. Not U.S. national strategy, Chinese national strategy. And Chinese national strategy is Chinese Communist Party's strategy. Yi was close to Chinese President Xi Jinping and welcomed at least one foreign president to Beijing with Yi. The DOJ has referenced Yi and CEFC in a scheme bribing African leaders. The other Chinese national I'll mention now is Gong Wendong, who did work for Yi in America. When Yi needed to do business in America, he often looked to Gong Wendong. The amount of money Yi was sending to Gong Wendong was staggering. From June through August of 2017 alone, Yi transferred to Gong Wendong in America more than $130 million. Yi met with Hunter Biden in February 2017 and gave him a diamond reportedly worth tens of thousands of dollars as a gift. In August of 2017, Yi, through Gong Wendong, opened up a business with Hunter and James Biden called Hudson West 3, based here in Washington, D.C. And Hunter wanted to get Joe Biden's keys to the office, and they could all share office space together, according to an email verified by the Washington Post. But things didn't go as planned because the Chinese detained Yi in March of 2018 for fraud. In an email to Gong Wendong and another associate, Hunter tried to explain away the last year of doing business together. This is an email that has also been verified by the Washington Post. Hunter wrote, and I quote, "I am not in a joint venture with CEFC. I'm not partners with CEFC, and I'm not employed nor funded by CEFC," close quote. But Hunter was funded by CEFC, as Ms. Mace will explain. "I'm extremely concerned about the president's connections to these individuals he was supposedly meant to share office space with and is denied knowing anything about these transactions and these business dealings, and also is denied receiving any money for himself or his family from Chinese connections." That has been proven to be a lie. And I'll yield back, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Next, we'll have Ms. Mace. Thank you, Chairman Comer, for your leadership. In less than 100 days of subpoena power, this has been one of the most in-depth investigations the House Oversight Committee has ever had in recent history. And I would hope that the media here today would put as much attention and interest and focus on this as they have a former president. For years, the left has said no one is above the law. Well, put your money where your mouth is and prove that, because the American people do not trust the federal government. They don't trust Congress. They don't even trust current presidents because of the kind of possible and alleged corruption that we see at every level of government, and no one is ever held to account. I try to call the balls and strikes regardless of whether or not you have an R or a D by your name. I've been accused, all of us have been, over this particular issue that we're conspiracy theorists. We're not. What we're proving to you today is showing you actual bank records, actual evidence of shell companies and businesses, or more businesses and more Bidens involved than we knew of. You have to issue more subpoenas because every time we turn over a rock, there's more information. There's more possible corruption. There's more possible allegations that need to be investigated. This is what we know today. Money flowed from the Chinese Communist Party, aligned with individuals into American shell companies. And then that money was wired and transferred to Biden family members. This could be the most corrupt scheme in American politics, where a sitting vice president, where we saw members of his family, nine members so far, there may be more, that were enriched from countries all over the world. And we're providing more information about Romania today. We know about China. We know that the president denied this during an election in 2020, continues to deny it to this day. And we want everyone held accountable if they have violated their oath of office. We shouldn't have folks that are in office that are betraying their oath of office. We shouldn't have people in office that are betraying their country. If they're paying loads of cash to their family members from adversaries of ours around the world, it's wrong, whether you have a Republican or a Democrat by your name. And we saw evidence of intentionally taking steps to hide the sources of money coming directly from China through a series of financial gymnastics. Joe Biden's political career was winding down at the time, and this was one of the Biden family's last chances to cash in on the name. We have evidence of Chairman Yi Jinping, who is believed to be affiliated with Chinese Communist Party intelligence organizations and has even been accused of gathering intel for Communist China. Yi started CEFC in China. His agent in America, Gong Wendong, which Andy Biggs mentioned earlier, formed CEFC Infrastructure Investment U.S. on May 11th, 2017. On May 18th of 2017, Dong used one of his Chinese companies, Shanghuaxin, to fund CEFC infrastructure in an attempt to hide the source of the money. And you see this pattern repeated over and over and over again. On June 30th, 2017, Shanghuaxin sent $10 million from China to CEFC infrastructure. Then on August 4th, 2017, CEFC infrastructure wired $100,000 directly to Hunter Biden's own corporation, Owasco PC. Hunter's Owasco also received $500,000 from another entity affiliated with Yi, State Energy HK Limited. State Energy HK appears to be part of Yi's personal slush fund to potentially commit bribery and launder money. The Chinese Communist Party affiliated entities may have bought influence with the Bidens that they couldn't get otherwise, and obviously for good reason. These alleged layering schemes are repetitive. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to do it. And they did it multiple times all over the world. If it looks complicated and sounds complicated, it was intentionally made to be complicated so you could not follow the money. And what we're trying to do today is show you how to follow the money. The Committee of Oversight, we need to pursue the Chinese relationship with the Serbian politician Vuk Jeremić, who first attempted to introduce Yi to the Bidens in 2015. From August 2015 to June of 2016, State Energy HK paid Jeremić's company $3 million. When Jeremić ran for UN Security General, who did he turn to? It appears he turned to Hunter Biden. On June 16, 2016, Jeremić wrote to Hunter asking if he could meet with the vice president's national security advisor, Colin Kall, related to the elections for UN Security General. The meeting appears to have happened because on July 2, 2016, Jeremić informed Hunter that my meeting, quote, with Colin did not last very long, but it didn't go too bad, I think. What is suboptimal is that the office of the vice president seems to be outside the decision-making loop on the UN Security General elections issue. These people didn't come to Hunter Biden because he understood world politics or that he was experienced in it. or that he understood Chinese businesses. They wanted him for the access his last name gave them. Access to the Chinese Communist Party they couldn't otherwise get. In March of 2017, the same Chinese company that sent $3 million to Vuk Jeremik sent $3 million to one of Biden's associates, who siphoned off 30%, as Annie Biggs mentioned, we see that repeated over and over again, siphoned off 30% or $1 million to Hunter Biden, James Biden, Hallie Biden, why she would need that, and an unknown Biden bank account. The committee has written to Vuk Jeremik and Rob Walker, but they have both refused to cooperate with the oversight committee. The Biden family needs to answer for this, and the DOJ needs to get off its ass and investigate. We've done the work for them so that they can't screw it up now. If these allegations, any of these allegations, are proven true, then someone with the last name Biden needs to be charged, prosecuted, and maybe spend a little time in prison to take to account and responsible for the actions they've taken today. Also, as mentioned by the chairman, I want to thank you. The legislative priorities we have of our committee, this is not a witch hunt. This is not a conspiracy theory. If there are anti-corruption laws that need to be made stronger, we will also do that. And I appreciate your time today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next, we have Representative
Wow. What we're doing, this is the House Oversight Committee, folks, and we're listening to what's happening in this investigation. So Claire Lopez is joining me. We'll talk about this here coming up in just a little bit, but I want to hear what they have to say. So here we go.
During Joe Biden's time as vice president. The committee has obtained the bank records for one of the companies of a close Biden associate, Rob Walker. Walker used his company, Robinson Walker LLC, to receive money from foreign companies. He then sent the money to various Bidens, including Hunter Biden, James Biden, Hallie Biden, and another Biden account. Walker's LLC received 17 payments from Bladen Enterprises Limited. The first payment was made in November of 2015, and the last payment happened in May of 2017. 16 of the 17 payments occurred while Joe Biden was vice president. Bladen Enterprises is affiliated with Romanian businessman Gabriel Popovich. Popovich is a Romanian businessman who, at the time of these payments, was subject of a high-profile corruption investigation. In fact, he was convicted of one such obstruction charge in 2016. Popovich's company paid Walker LLC just over $3 million. And like clockwork, Walker dispersed approximately $1 million of that money to the Bidens. If that sounds familiar, it should. It's essentially the same structure Walker and the Biden family had with the Chinese money, a one-third cut. So what were the vice president's duties related to Romania at this time? Well, in May of 2014, Vice President Biden visited Romania and delivered a speech about corruption, saying it can represent a clear and present danger not only to a nation's economy, but to its very national security. And in September of 2015, Vice President Biden welcomed the Romanian president to the White House, and they spoke about anti-corruption policies. 5 weeks later, after the White House meeting, Rob Walker's company's bank accounts began receiving payments from Popovich's company. Walker then sent a portion of each installment payment to Hunter Biden's business, Owasco, and another company, EEIG, which was owned by close Hunter Biden associate James Gilliard, another Biden bank account that Hunter claims is his, and in one case, $10,000 to Haley Biden. Let's be clear. The $3 million sent to Rob Walker and dispersed to the Biden family appears completely separate and distinct from legal work performed by the law firm associated with Hunter Biden. This is simply not how legal fees are paid. I spent 10 years collecting legal fees. Nobody would pay or receive payments this way. It makes absolutely no sense. And again, the structure is the same as the Chinese payments. If it's for legal fees, why are the deals the same? In fact, it's very hard to come up with any legitimate business reason to conduct transactions with this type in this type of complex way. Why would separate payments go to Hunter Biden's business and to himself individually? Why would Walker transfer money from his business account to his personal account before distributing the money? Why are other Biden family receiving any of these payments? We need to understand more about this $3 million deal. But it's clear that the pattern shows two separate foreign countries paid millions of dollars through Walker, of which the Biden family received a one-third cut. These payments, their timing, the complexity of the money transfer for transactions all warrant further investigation into a possible influencing peddling scheme. This is simply not how legitimate business is conducted. And the fact that Vice President Joe Biden was lecturing the Romanian people about corruption while his family was being paid over $1 million from a Romanian businessman who was being prosecuted for corruption would be laughable if it wasn't so troubling. Long time ago, I had a client got stopped. He had $50,000 in cash, 11 burner phones, and a bunch of pawn shop money tickets in his car. And when he came in to see me and I took him as a client, I said, you have a problem. That is easy to understand. Financial transactions amongst 17 different shell companies, banks all over the world are complex. We get it. But the pattern is emerging, and there is no reason that legitimate business is ever conducted in this matter. And with that.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Next we have Representative Donalds.
Thank you, Chairman. Thanks for being here, everybody. Look, a couple things. First, what we're seeing here, what we're witnessing with the Biden family, frankly, is just a web of concealment, of deception. So a lot of people would say corruption. But let's be very clear. You have this many companies involved with this velocity of transactions, size of transactions. Like my colleagues have said, this is not how normal businesses operate. I had the ability with Chairman Comer and other members of the committee to go over to the Treasury building and review documents. And having read those documents, one thing is became pretty crystal clear that there were many people who had serious questions about the transactions and about the velocity of these transactions. And they either get very, very, very deep into concealment, hiding money, shifting money. And for the purpose, we don't know, because one thing everybody in this room and the American people definitely know is that the Biden family doesn't really have a business. There is no business structure around this family except politics. And since Joe Biden has spent decades in the Senate, served 8 years as vice president, and is now president of the United States, and the family's getting money from various countries and foreign businesses through various shell companies and this web of LLCs. I mean, guys, you in the press, this is easy pickings. I'm giving you Pulitzer stuff here. Like, all you have to do is literally look at our memo and see the level of detail upon which they have created this. And it's very, very frustrating. We have now been able to clearly see that the Biden's associates, like Rob Walker, Eric Sherman, has been discussed, created at least 16 companies while Joe Biden was vice president of the United States. 16 companies created while he was vice president. Now the list is 20, and as we continue our investigation, that list is growing. And like I said before, the question is to serve what purpose? And the purpose of all these companies being created is to conceal money that the Biden family has been gaining because Joe Biden has been sitting at the upper echelon of our politics for almost 5 decades. That is the entire purpose here. Here's an example of what I mean. You have Rosemont Seneca Partners, Rosemont Seneca Advisors, Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners, RSP Holdings, RSTP2 Alpha, RSTP2 Bravo, Rosemont Seneca Thornton, Rosemont Seneca Bohai. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Bohai, B-O-H-A-I. And the list goes on and on. Cycling through this many companies serves no legitimate purpose. And as somebody who actually worked in banking, I did that long before I came here. Whenever there was like this many companies just laying all over the place, and you see wire transfers and cashier checks over here going to random members of the family for no apparent purpose at the size and velocity at which all of this was being conducted, the only logical conclusion of a financial professional is you are concealing money. Let me restate this. You are concealing money from either the IRS or from credit agencies or from other people in general. That's the only reason you set up a structure like this. Some of these companies were connected to Hunter's personal professional company, Osweco, or Skinny Atlas, Scale Atlas, however you want to pronounce it. And the list goes on and on. And Mr. Biggs, he talked about Hudson West 3 and some of those other issues that were going on as well. One thing I want to make sure is that all of this has happened and Joe Biden is aware. Nobody in this room can logically sit here and say that the president of the United States had no idea that these companies were being formed while he was vice president of the United States. And I will add you, he was in probably in better mental shape then than he is today. You know, I'll throw that out there. And so what this committee is going to continue to do is pursue this investigation. We are going to continue to document, and we're going to provide that information to all of you in the press. So to help you, and frankly, you know, like Congresswoman May said, and probably help the DOJ along with their investigation. One quick note, it's interesting that the Department of Justice has been investigating Hunter Biden for quite some time, and we seem to just never really get anywhere. And so I think that's also interesting as well. I wonder what's going on at the Department of Justice. But that being said, the bottom line is there is no real business here. None. And let me also say this, because I know there are many in this room who wanted to go down all the various schemes that our colleagues on the other side of the aisle accused the former president of. Be very clear. The former president actually had a business, very big business. You could say it was his name. You could say it was his buildings. You could say it was wine. You could say it was branding. You could say it was The Apprentice. But he had a very big and legitimate business, which everybody in this room clearly knows and understands and can point to and say, ah, that's the thing, that thing over there. Joe Biden has no business except his position in politics. And it is the requirement of this committee to investigate that. We're going to continue to do that, and we're going to let the facts speak for themselves. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Lastly, we'll
have
Representative Jordan.
Suspicious activity reports. The key word in that phrase is the word suspicious. There are 170 of those reports, many of them put together by the Treasury Department of our government in the Obama-Biden administration. So 170 of those that the committee has reviewed, thousands of pages of bank records the committee has reviewed, and that has told us that there are now multiple, as Mr. Donald just said, multiple LLCs receiving money from foreign entities and paying that money out to multiple members of the Biden family. And the fundamental question is the one Byron just raised. For what? What did they do? What was the business? What service did they provide? What value did they add? What did they do to warrant receipt of the money? That is the fundamental question, and no one seems to have an answer to that fundamental question. But Mr. Comer, Chairman Comer and the team, that's what we're looking into, trying to get. And I would just say this, too. Why not just come clean? Why not just be honest with us? Why not tell us the truth? But I would tell you this. I think it's a pattern with this administration. They haven't been square with us, straight with us, straight with the American people about anything. They tell us the border is secure. We know it isn't. They tell us our debt ceiling bill is going to hurt veterans. No, it doesn't. Joe Biden said during the campaign that the letter from 51 former intel officials, when he used it in the debate, he portrayed it as if it was organic. And we now know through another investigation that we're all working on that, in fact, it was coordinated. That letter from 51 former intel officials was coordinated with the Biden campaign, so much so the Biden campaign told Mike Morrell, here's the journalist. We want you to have the story to the letter to first.
And it was all lies.
Why not just be straight with us? Why not come clean? Why not tell us the truth? Tell the American people the truth. They deserve that from.
I'm going to pause this for a second, Claire. As we're watching this, this is devastating. But the piece that I'm waiting for them to get to, because they've said Biden has no business. Biden's getting all this money. What I want is for them to come out and point, and they've started it. They've started the trail, but point me to these individuals in the Romanian government, in the Chinese Communist Party, who received a benefit on their end, because they did. They bought land in Nevada. They bought up meat plants in the United States of America. Okay, they established businesses here. They established businesses, not the Bidens. No. The Bidens established nothing. But these Romanian interests, they gained advantages. These Chinese Communist Party interests, they gained advantages. Advantages that took advantage of and have put Americans under subjugation of these foreign nations.
You know, I've been watching this along with you there, Pastor Greg, since the press conference began a little after 9 a.m. Eastern this morning. And I'll tell you what struck me the most and first, really, is just the extent of the investigatory work, the financial forensics that Chairman Comer's committee, you know, has gone through, and Jim Jordan's too, and the others, and they've all that we heard, you know, speaking this morning, have been involved in this investigation. An incredible effort for investigation and uncovering the financial details. I think that's just remarkable, and it's incontrovertible.
Well, it is. I mean, they have tracked all of this down. They have traced all of this down. They have a surplus of information that shows you that the Bidens have been doing exactly what. It's interesting because I was talking as we were getting ready to do this morning about my son Hunter and Robert Davi's movie. Which you know, kind of in a entertainment way, but it shows this is what Hunter was doing. This is what Joe was up to.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I was going to say is to answer the other part of what you said earlier.
Yeah,
and that is what you know. What was the quid pro quo, right, for the Romanians, for the Chinese? And I think it goes way beyond. You know, some very minimal acreage purchases or company purchases in the United States, troubling as those are, in particular as regards their location near some of our sensitive military bases. But I think more to the point, the benefits that went in particular to the Chinese. I can't speak so much to the Romanian side of it. I don't know about that as well. But the Chinese side, I think the policy decisions were at a much higher level. And for example, we can look at the way the Chinese flew at least one, you know, balloon, intelligence collecting balloon over our country from west to east, north to south, Alaska on down to the lower 48 and then across the country.
Uninhibited.
Absolutely no response until it flew off of our coast. In the east off of the coast of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And now we find out that balloon's sensor package was indeed collecting sensitive information from our sensitive military bases over which it flew during that multi-day trek. That's the kind of thing that you know, comes to mind for me. The other kinds of hands-off policy by the Biden administration to, you know, Chinese aggression, Chinese police stations, let's say, across the United States. We know of at least two in New York City now. Others are in Los Angeles, Minnesota, Nebraska, I think Chicago, and I'm probably skipping a couple. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been in operation, these police stations, for many years. Not a peep out of the Biden administration about them until it's so obvious that it did make the news, you know, finally. These kinds of policy decisions, to me, are the real quid pro quo from the Biden administration to the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, and the trade agreements overall. Remember that, you know, President Trump had put trade tariffs on China that were crippling their economy and that were rebuilding and reestablishing the economy of the United States. And he immediately came in and lifted those. And right. You know, Rick Manning is on the phone with us. Rick, we're talking about this situation, and one of the things that I said, I don't think you were on when I had mentioned this, but that Claire was responding to, is, you know, here we have all of this evidence, a preponderance of evidence that indicates that they were receiving these funds, and a preponderance of evidence that indicates that there was no business per se that was being paid for doing anything. What I'm waiting for them to show is you know, the impacts, like we were just talking about. What did Joe Biden give them governmentally? Which obviously that's not a business. That's illegal.
Well, the key to this is, people pay a lot of money in D.C. to get access to public officials. People are going to help them out. And there are registration requirements for that. They try to get try to get Paul Manafort on foreign agent registration laws, which are a joke, but tried to get him on that. Didn't want to think he was charged with. The bottom line, at the very least, they're violating those, okay? But from the point that Byron Donald made about there not being a business, the quid pro quo is every single action that Biden takes is informed by this money. And not just by the money that was paid, but by the fact that he's entangled with it and the knowledge of the money and the takes down his presidency. So we have effectively a president who is a, shall we say, a kept agent, because if the Chinese came out and said, we paid him millions of dollars, and here's what we got out of it, Joe Biden's presidency ends. So he is effectively a captive of the Chinese. That's what they get out of it. They get a captive president who allows the balloon to go across the country, transmitting signals to the Chinese about our critical infrastructure going over our nuclear bases, going over where our missiles are, going over just basically traversing the country. And then they shoot it down afterwards, not because they wanted to stop it from doing anything, because they wanted to make certain that we never found out exactly what it did. That's why they used a giant missile, $500,000 missile to shoot down a balloon. It's because they wanted to cut complete destruction of the evidence of what actually happened. That's what they're buying. They're buying a kept administration that allows the Chinese to overtly trump us, and I use that term realistically, trump us and all around the world, and with no American response that's effective whatsoever. That's what they buy. I think the Romanian part is disturbing because, understand what the Chinese are buying. What the heck were the Romanians buying? What's that about? Recognizing Romania being on the Black Sea, recognizing that the vice president was heavily involved in what was happening in Ukraine, and obviously, hence the affected nations around the Black Sea. But who knows what they were buying? The fact is, it shows that the Romanian deal shows that this is not just something that was a one-off. This is something that countries around the world knew, that the way you get access was you pay the toll. And the only people who apparently didn't know that were the FBI and the American public, which had it hidden from them by the media. The reason Comer did this press conference is very simple. We've known this information. Every one of us who pay attention to this, that there go no details about this, and say, that's not right. But Comer did this press conference because he wanted to force the media right in their face to ask questions and to start asking the right questions. And that was what this press conference was about. It was about the American people, but it was really forcing the media to say, okay, are you going to be a journalist or not? We're handing it to you. You're going to be a journalist or not? Will your newspaper allow you to be a journalist? If your newspaper won't, you need to quit. That's what James Comer did today with that press conference. And, it's now out there. It's in the public. And, and the people who are dancing for glee right now are Gavin Newsom, because he may have a pathway to the presidency. I say that sadly in trepidation, but at least we know Gavin Newsom, the difference between Joe Biden and Gavin Newsom is Joe Biden is a controlled entity who apparently has been bought and paid for. Gavin Newsom actually believes in what he'll do to this country. So it's a matter of if you want somebody who's doing it because they're a controlled entity, or if you want somebody to do it because they actually believe in the destruction of America. I think that's the difference between Newsom and Biden. And from a policy perspective, the Democrats would at this juncture prefer to have somebody who actually believes in it rather than somebody who they have to manipulate.
Well, I think that speaks to the radical side, right? Because it's a lot easier when you have somebody that actually believes in it and is gung-ho about it, then you're going to get your further left radicals engaged in that, and they're going to actually cheer them on.
Well, and there's no moral encumbrance whatsoever. Not that I'm going to accuse. I'm going to accuse Biden of having a moral encumbrance.
Yeah, we're gonna bump up against the top. But I was talking with David Shostakis this morning about this. Here's the thing, though. They truly believe they have a moral imperative. They believe, and that's something when you're talking about a guy like Newsom as an example. This is a guy that actually believes that we're evil. He believes that what we believe in the American Constitution and the Bill of Rights and being undergirded by God and the Bible and the Christian foundation of our nation, he believes that all of that is evil and it needs to be dismantled and it needs to be destroyed. And finally, somebody's gonna tear down the imperialistic United States. I mean, he sees us the way that Islam sees us, the great Satan.
Yeah, from a different direction, but absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Let's just be clear. This is very biblical. Christ said that they're going to hate you as if they hate me. And there's no, this is predictable. It's biblical. And we just need to understand where we're living in history. But it's when you get down to it, what Comer did was very simple. What Comer did is he exposed the network. He didn't say why. He didn't make accusations about, what did they get for it. But what he did is he exposed the network. And now it's kind of forces, they had a lot of people to start to actually do their job. Because the American people now know enough that they can say the people who do their job will be rewarded with eyeballs on the web, and those who don't will be punished.
Well,
kind of makes Fox News' job a little hard these days. Too bad for them.
Well, I shared on Monday, Rick, with you, the murder of that young lady in India who was killed because of her Christian faith and because she was the wrong caste. Understand something, that with people like Gavin Newsom, we are the wrong caste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And folks, this is going to stun you, but this picture that I'm showing you right now, this young lady is dead. This is a dead body. She was murdered. Her throat was cut, and you can see the staples where they tried to staple her head back on so the family could bury her. I'm not going to leave it up there long, but I want you to understand, this is the evil that we are dealing with. This is the wickedness that has encroached itself and come upon our shores here in this country, right here in the United States. It is here. It's not coming, it is here, and we better be aware of what is at stake relative to this situation. It's in my estimation, it's that serious.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Can't disagree at all. And it's the good news on this is. I was really fearful going into this press conference that, they come up with a bunch of stuff that was just innuendo. And the fact is they laid down facts, they laid down data, and they showed what they put out there. They laid out the basic premises. These people didn't have a business. What were they selling?
Yep.
And that's a pretty darn good question. And I think everybody out there knows that answer, knows what the answer is, but that's the question which ends. That's the question which ends the Biden presidency. It's what were they selling?
Well, and what it comes down to, and we've hit the top of the hour, but what it comes down to is now will they take the next necessary steps Feinstein is back in the Senate, so that gives them their majority there. What is the pathway and the means by which they will drop the legal hammer to bring these people to account? I don't know the full answer to that, but I know that that is what's got to happen in order for this to mean something.
Well, yeah, and you're at the top of the hour, so we can. I'm not going to go. We can open up another hour and a half of discussion.
No doubt. All right. Claire, Rick, thank you. Claire, you have a final thought you want to go? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, no, just thank you very much, Pastor Greg, for covering this morning. And Rick, I thought your summation, your comments were absolutely spot on. So thanks for doing this program.
God bless you both. Greatly appreciate it. We'll be back with more Children Generation Radio coming up straight ahead. Censored Track, and we'll be talking about fake news right after this.